Good evening, good welcome to the Untold Mystery Show. My name is John Kulis, live from the Netherlands in Europe. Some people know me from untoldmysteries.com and have heard me before. And I'm just in from a long trip with a train, and my computer had a severe attack. I'm now working on an older computer, but I get to receive a message that I have malware exploits, so I've been... Peer Guardian 2 is protecting me if some malicious is hijacking my web browsers. So, you know, Firefox and Internet Explorer has been hijacked by a certain program. So I'm not trusting to go online now. And I'm just in. Normally I would be 1 hour earlier at home, but something, because of the long trip with the train, something happened. So I had a delay of 1 hour. So I'm just in. I'm just coming, you know, coming in and unprepared, having severe problems with two computers now. This is almost ridiculous. I've heard that Mercurius, I don't know how to say it in English, but in Dutch we say Mercurius. That's what we say in Mercury. Maybe is that the way to pronounce it in English? This planet is the planet of communication, and it's going to slow down in comparison with the you know, the speed of the orbit of the Earth going faster. In comparison, so I don't know if that is true, but they tell me that you know, because of astrology, we have now severe communication problems in a couple of days. I don't know if it's true, but I've heard that recently. So you have to. I hear something calling. Say again. I hear something, or maybe it was my echo. So people, the reason. That I want to do no guest in the first show is that I want people to know me. That and who the hell is John Kulis? You know, some people don't know me, and so give me a second. I have to drink my coffee here, otherwise it's going to be cold. But people have to know me a little bit about my background, what happened in my life, what is the reason that I making alternative media for 17 years, and what is the reason that I investigated UFO full time. UFOs and all connected to mysterious topics. And of course, everybody knows who's in the UFO field that there's much more to the topic than only seeing lights in the sky. You know, worldwide contactees and abductees will tell you much more than only strange lights in the sky. There's so much going on. And of course, the paranormal is connected to the abductees and contactees too. I have to say, I don't want to admit it, but I'm a contactee too, and I never spoke about it in the media too much because I was more into focusing on the hard evidence like military cases and pilot cases and police cases. So I kind of use self-censorship, not talking about my own contact experiences. But, you know, the world is changing. More and more people are open to it, and they don't say it's that far-fetched that, you know, people have contact experiences. And also very happy to hear that Stephen Greer had decided to do the same, you know, to explain to the public he's a contactee as well. So there is a change in mentality, I guess, in Europe and also in America and Canada, that people are, you know, telling more about their personal experiences, and maybe that will build bridges to understand the passion that people have to bring it to the open, to the world. And by the way, if anyone is taping this, please do and send it to my email, because I have no ability to tape my own radio show today, so I hope it will be archived. But it's kind of hectic today because I'm just in. I just visited a good friend of mine for 2 days in the Netherlands called Irma, and she is already author of books, and she's very well in the language of Dutch and French, and she decided to interview me a very long interview, and want to put it in a book. So I hope soon it will also be translated in English, and people can see my personal story. Of course, I myself already have written several articles about UFOs and cover-ups and suppressed inventions and many, many untold mysteries topics, and the best of it will be a part of that book too. So it's not only about my personal experiences, but that is the part of the, you know, people understanding why it is that I do what I do. Also, what is important is that I feel that there are worldwide, in every county, there are certain key people. That's what I call them. And the goal of the key people is to trigger, to activate those people who have a temporary amnesia. Now, that sounds silly. Well, what the hell do you mean, John? Temporary amnesia is something like, if you think about this, if something is floating in the sky, you know, like sitting on a cloud and is kind of an angel or something that is an sentient being or whatever, you know, advanced race, whatever, and is telling us how to live, we would say to them, easy talk up there, you know, come here, you know, live amongst us, and then you will see our difficulties, our problems we face day by day, and then we talk further, you know, then we do business. You see, people have to understand that it's easy talk if you have a nice advanced race that is having, you know, free energy technology available to everyone and have a beautiful, society. But when you live on Earth, we have all the inconvenience of having a limited experience. That's what we are. We are multidimensional beings having a limited experience. And because of this experience we have on this day, of this planet, we actually understand how it is to live with limits and limitations. So that is exactly what I think is happening. At this moment, long time, people have decided not to come with big motherships and invade the Earth to change for the better. Let's say that there's a scenario that there are ancient beings living in the oceans and decided to intervene, that they are fed up with us. You know, they can be neutral to a point. You know, there comes a time that enough is enough. You know, we pollute the Earth. We use a lot of atomic waste, atomic energy, atomic bombs being detonated in the oceans to test weapons. And now we have even beam weapons and harp projects and other frequency bombardments like microwaves and so forth. So you can imagine there is a point that enough is enough. And those so-called neutral beings living in the oceans, I've personal experience with them. I call them interdimensional golden light beings. Now, there's lack of a better word. I don't know how to describe them. That's the problem. But those interdimensional golden light beings don't have to be alien. They can just be very ancient, being part of the planet, and is interlocking with the humans now. And I've just explained that maybe certain people have a very old soul and decided to give up temporarily their origins and won't be part of the human race with all the limitations and have temporarily amnesia about their origins. And maybe more and more awakening or reawakening about their truth origins, the true origins. And that is maybe happening right now. And those key people that I talked about, they will find each other. They will trigger each other to empower the people instead of that people need to have power over someone else. Think about that. That concept of true empowerment of oneself or the need of to have power over someone else. So if you have the need to rule over someone else, to have slaves or whatever, then you actually are a parasite. You don't use your full potential. But if you are first empowering yourself and learn how to do that, then there is no need to rule others or to manipulate others or to be a parasite anymore. Do you see what I mean? So there is a connection of true empowerment and the people that need to have power over someone else. Actually, when they do that, they make a clear statement that they don't have it. Because if you have it, you don't need to use it anymore at the cost of others. See what I mean? So some people have a degree of respect for those who are in power, but think again. You know, they're just parasites, in my opinion. You know, you can disagree with me, and I understand. There's no problem with that, with disagreeing with me. You know, call me that I'm brainstorming. You know, that I just, it's like a lot of people trying to figure out what is happening to make sense of the nonsense around us. We live, you know, if people call me insane, I'm actually part of it. You know why? To be called sane in an insane world, then you have to worry about that question, you know. So be proud if someone calls you, you're an insane person. And thank you, you have to say, thank you. Because, again, if someone calls you sane in an insane world, I guess you have to worry. So that's me. I'm insane, but I'm proud of it. But brainstorming is a means to allow yourself a philosophical freedom to go beyond the normal boundaries that we have around us to accept certain things or not. It's like living in a thought cage or a mind prison. And I have one too. Everyone has his own unique mind prison or thought cage. It's like just the boundary of what you accept and don't accept. It's healthy sometimes to say or to reject something. You say, no, I don't want to go there. Or I don't want to agree on that one. So it is very healthy to have your own boundaries. But also it is important that sometimes when people have certain unique keys, I call them unity keys, you can share this with everybody and say, you know what, I give you a key. You can do three things with those three keys, with those keys, three things. You can choose to keep it for later purpose. You can choose to throw it away, you know, that you don't like it. Or what you do is you use it immediately. You unlock your own thought cage, you step out of your cage, and you explore what is out there, what John is doing. And John Kulis from the Netherlands having this wonderful, I hope so, a radio show, Untold Mysteries, on bbsradio.com. And the date of today is 24 February in the Netherlands. Of course, we have a time difference. But at this moment, it is 9 p.m. in the Netherlands, 9 to 10 p.m. That is the one-hour show of Untold Mysteries every Saturday. But in PST, Pacific Time, it will be between 12 and 1, if I'm correct, every Saturday. I will do a radio show on bbsradio.com. I will have guests, and I will talk about my own personal experiences, and I will give my comments on the latest news in UFO world and in the world of mysteries. You can also call me Mystery Detective. And why is it that I use that label upon me? Because if you are, let's say that you call yourself an expert or you call yourself a ufologist, then what you do is that you have this attitude of I am the expert. Of course not. Everybody is an expert of having your own unique experiences. So we are each other's teachers. So I don't like ufologists and I don't like experts. So therefore, I prefer to use like researcher or detective, because it's like a different approach of who we are, what we do. And we are on a journey of discovery. And it's, of course, logic to say it's convenient to have a risk-free world and a risk-free journey, what you do. But the question is, are you at that moment living, or do you have a limited life? And I guess sometimes you have to take some risks to enjoy life and, you know, go out there and experience things. There are certain people that can be extremely brilliant pessimistic about the world, and then you have those who are brilliant optimistic in the world, and they clash to each other. Now, it's obvious that the ones who are brilliant pessimistic about the world, they are looking standard for arguments to stay passive. You know, they're complaining about everything and saying, yeah, it's no use, no, it's no good, it's no, you know, it's whatever, and I don't know, and that kind of behavior. You know, they're looking just for arguments to stay passive. And then we have the brilliant optimists. Those people are looking for arguments to become proactive, or already maybe are active. You know, like me, I want to make alternative media. That's my passion, making alternative media. So what is the difference with those energies? It's all about what do you want to do with your creative potential? Do you want it to put for use to be brilliant negative? Or do you want to use your creative potential to become brilliant optimistic and brilliant positive? It's up to you. I guess the first sign of real intelligence is that you use your creative potential to become, you know, proactive and brilliant optimistic and brilliant positive. Then that is the first sign of intelligence, if you can back it up, what you do and what you claim. And of course, everybody knows the statement of Carl Sagan saying extraordinary claims needs extraordinary evidence. You know, the very famous quote of a skeptic, UFO skeptic, Carl Sagan. You can also say extraordinary evidence requires extraordinary investigation. or extraordinary time. And just analyze how the media treats the subject. They most of the time give the same time to the skeptics as those who are trying to explain extraordinary claims. And again, if you have an extraordinary claim, you require more time to explain it to the public. And most of the time in the Netherlands, and also I guess in other countries too, if you are explaining something very complex or interesting controversial issues, they probably will not give you the much airtime to explain yourself. But those who want to ridicule it or laugh at you or want to downplay or debunk it, they will get more, most of the time, more airtime to you know, to ridicule you. And then we claim that that is fair and balanced. If you hear something that you already know, it will be easier to swallow than if someone is trying to explain something that you never heard before. Do you get my drift? So again, I have to say this slowly, because it's extremely important that all the editorial staff of the media recognize this problem. If you try to explain something that is obvious, you know, that is in the line of expectation, it's easier to swallow. So therefore, if a so-called, I call them pseudo-skeptics, if a skeptic is or debunker is trying to debunk the UFO topic, they will tell things that is in the line of expectation, that people say, yeah, that makes sense. Of course it makes sense, because you have heard it before. You see what I mean? It's obvious that people will swallow it easier. But the moment that you have something extraordinary to explain to the public, that takes more time. And that is what you seldomly will find in the media. That's the reason I think the media, of the mainstream media, is failing us. And if it's not on mainstream, it's on bbsradio.com. I love that quote, of this slogan of bbsradio.com. A little bit about me. I had a near-death experience when I was about 4.5 years old. Sometimes I say to the people 5 years. It's if you want to be exact, it's 4.5 years old I was. I was living in a village, and I was hit by a car, a black car, by the way. So some people say maybe it's a MIP, Man in Black, who knows. If you hear the stories of Operation Trojan Horse of John Keel, he is describing people who are connected with ufology or UFO research. They can sometimes be confronted with black Cadillacs or black cars, and they are extremely nice polished, and they look brand new, and they most of the time leave no tracks. You know, let's say that you are a farmer, and you see a black car appear, people come stepping out and telling you that they're calling the silencers. There's even a movie about it. They call them the silencers. And they will ask you to shut up what you have experienced. And they claim that they are from the government, or they act like it. And most of the people are so afraid after that that they actually have this censorship going on. So therefore, if it's working, they will try to, you know, use psychological warfare, I call it. That's what they try. Now, so there are stories worldwide of people seeing black cars appearing out of nowhere and leaving no traces. So maybe it's just a image that they wish to project into your subconsciousness. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's just a UFO, whatever. And people think that they saw a black car, so you never know what they do with you. If they are highly advanced, they can actually project anything they like into your brain. So you never know what they do with your head if they are so advanced. So that's my opinion about it. But go back to my near-death experience when I was 4.5 years old, living in the southern part of the Netherlands. When I was hit by a car, my lung was torn, one lung, and the other lung was collapsed. And I had a severe brain, damage. And also, I was leaving my body, watching my body, and there were people looking over me and saying, he's dead, you know, giving up on me. Luckily for me is that my mother went to the village to buy some food and shoppings, and she had to bicycle about, let's say, 2 miles. And when she was half away, you know, going to the center of the village, she saw this black car passing by, and she had a feeling that she had to go back. She said, I don't know, but I have to go back. And lucky for me, she did, because she was the only person that felt in my neck if I still had a heartbeat. And she decided to yell that anyone who have a phone call, please, you know, call for an ambulance. And about five or four people gave up on me. They thought I was just total loss and there was no hope for me. But luckily she, you know, yelled for, please call an ambulance, someone. And the moment that I was being in a hospital, they operate on me without amnesia. So that far away I was. And about 3 days and three nights, I was kept alive with these oxygen machines. In the room next to me, my father and my mother was being told by the doctors that the chance that I will go out of this coma will be very slim. Very, you know, there's always about 0.01% chance that I will come out of this coma. And I only kept alive by these machines. At that moment, my father was crying, and I saw that. I was outside of my body. I never saw my father crying, and I realized that it's the second time that so-called authorities decide about my fate, that they gave up on me. And the kind of rebellious energy that I have, I became awake. And they also told my parents that if I come out of this coma, the chance is very high that I will be a vegetable, you know, because I had this brain damage. So there is maybe a chance that I cannot talk, I cannot comprehend anymore, I just have severe problems. So, well, but when I became awake, shortly after that, like a kind of a rebellious act of my soul, I guess, I said, Daddy, make me loose, because I was full with all those needles and these tubes inside of me. You know, you have this, they had to do that in the hospital, and I was completely stuck with them. So I asked them, please, Daddy, make me loose. Now, when you say that, they were so happy, because that means that I can still can use my brain. So something, a miracle happened at that moment. And from that point on, I had visions of the future unfolding in my eyes, and some of them are very, you know, shocking to me, and some of them are just of a small nature. But in general, I had about an average of one each 3 months, or sometimes once a year. I had a vision that is so vivid and so strong. Most of them I never shared with the public or with the people, because I don't know what to do with that, with it. And for instance, I knew that my parents would divorce when I was 12 years old. So when it happened, I was not crying. I just realized, you know, this is what I've seen in my vision. And also, I saw in the future, that will be for another show. Because if I go to talk about my visions, that will be a show in itself. But to go back to the near-death experience, because of my visions, I had some severe problems at school. But what happened is, you know, when people have nightmares, it will happen if you sleep, of course. But I had daymares. I had seeing 3D images appearing in broad daylight when I was at school. So they decided to do some research, or not research, checking up if my brain was okay. So they did some EEG measurements, and they found out that I have a very high alpha waves. And it was confirmed later with Tom Kuiper. He is the one who made those EEG equipment in the Dutch Amsterdam hospital. He is actually expert of measuring EEG equipment, and he tested me as well. He said, this is kind of strange. I never saw someone having 90, 95, even 100 alpha waves with his eyes open. Normally you have to calm down, relax, let go, you know, and close your eyes. And everything that you think of, or every, you know, burden of the past and the worries of tomorrow, let go. And the moment you are able to let go of the burden of the past and the worries of tomorrow, you actually come in an alpha state. Now, I have this permanently. It's kind of funny when you see there is a comic that someone is falling into the kettle with all those special, special drink that makes you strong. It's called Asterix and Obelix. That's what we call it in Dutch, and also in French. It's kind of funny because he was felt in this kettle. He has permanently has this strange gifts because of this accident. And sometimes I feel myself having this brainwave going on and on and on, that I permanently are capable of brainstorming and having wonderful concepts and ideas. For instance, what do you think about this concept? If there is a prime creator, and I think there is a prime creator, that you know, the first creator, I'm not talking about the gods of the Bible, I'm talking about something that is outside the box, something that has nothing to do with religion. If there is a prime creator, and that label is neutral, it's not being abused, it's not being contaminated with bloodshed, if you have just this concept of a prime creator that created everything, then my question to everyone is, if the prime creator created everything, then everything that comes from it is of it. Now, and then I say to the Christians and to the Muslims and to every religion, do you get it? I mean, think about it. I think that makes sense. If there is a prime creator, and I think there is, and by the way, if you try to describe the prime creator, the moment you try to describe it, you limit that what you try to describe. Why? Because we have limited brains. I'm honest, you know, I have limitations. I accept that I have limitations with my body and with my physical reality. But my soul is older than my human body. Maybe our souls are even older than the whole planet. Have you ever considered that one? I have many discussions with New Age people, and I ask them, do you believe in reincarnation? And they say, yes, I believe in reincarnation. I think it's a healthy way to understand certain, you know, dilemmas we face today. And then I ask the next question, do you believe that you have lived before on other planets? Then you will see that the majority of New Age movement people are not happy to discuss this, because they know it's a very tricky subject. But maybe it is changing. Maybe people are now waking up. Who knows? Now it's not really a taboo subject. The problem is, if someone claims to be, let's say, I'm an alien, I come from Venus or whatever, or from Sirius or from the Pleiadians, the problem is that if you claim that you have an authority on reality, then you make a big mistake, because we are all are just pieces of a gigantic puzzle. And like one key on the piano, if you want to hear music, you have to play some more keys on the piano. So if you're all just pieces of a gigantic puzzle, then we can appreciate each other more. You see what I mean? It's like a symphony of colors, a symphony of sounds, and we all have our own unique frequency that we express ourselves. And this expression has to be unique, because if it isn't, then we have something like going pretty bored if everyone is the same, you know, thinks alike. Or so to allow each other to be different is the first step in spirituality. You know, that you accept each other, that you are different, and that you have your own unique spiritual evolution. I love that word, by the way, spiritual evolution. I have to let the cat in. My cat has seen me for 2 days, and he's meowing, meow, 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 outside the door. So if you excuse me, I have to open the door. It's kind of strange that I have to do this, but I have to. Okay, now the cat is coming in. Hello. His name is Osho. And not because I'm a fan of Osho, but just because a friend of mine is a fan of Osho. So that's the reason I choose that name. In honoring my friend. So to go back to the story about my near-death experience having an impact of having this daymares, you know, in the classes, and they decided to scan my brain, and I found out that I have this alpha waves. Now, I don't like it, so don't think, hey, John, that is wonderful, you can play music, you can play the djembe, you can learn fast, you can comprehend complex issues, you can remember much faster, and you learn faster. You know, that must be wonderful, John. No, it isn't. Sometimes I see this handicap. For instance, my intuition is faster than my feelings. My feelings are faster than my capacity of how I think. My thinking is faster than I can speak. And I speak faster than I can type. So you see the problem? That's the reason I hate chatting. Sometimes people want to chat with me in person, or, you know, with a pal talk chat. It's like walking through a bucket of syrup, or how do you say this? This what I say it normally in Dutch all the time, so I have to translate it now. So for new people listening to me, I'm from the Netherlands, so sometimes I have difficulties with certain English words that I have to, you know, to translate from Dutch to English. But I've been talking in English for about 16 years now, 17, 16 years. So sometimes I dream in English, kind of funny. And because of my having this visions of the future, one of those visions I had was that I was 12 years old, and I saw myself working on an underwater base. Now, that sounds strange. Underwater dome-like city, blue-white and golden colors as well. Now, when you see yourself being old, and you are 12 years old, having this vision of the future, and I'm 40 years old now. I'm born in 66, 20 April 1966. I'm exactly between Aries and Bull, or Tauri, or Taurus. And exactly in the middle, you have the Pleiades. So I'm supposed to be, if you have this other astrologist, because people think that 12 signs are the only signs, it's not correct. I heard Michael Tessarion speaking about 88 signs or even more. So I don't know if I have the correct number, but there are more astrology signs. If you, you know, looking for Egyptian astrology, you will find that there are more than 12. But but to go back to the story, now I lost track. Oh my God. It's important that when I did the interview with Michael Tessarion, he helped me realize that they take a lot of information away from the public, and people are only allowed that kind of bit of information to have this feeling or sense of freedom, but we have no freedom at that moment because we are having this half axis or even 10% of axis of astrology. Now I know what the storyline is. I was talking about underwater, having this vision of being underwater, and I felt myself very old. Now that is kind of strange, having this feeling of being old. And I was working on an underwater base, a dome-like city at the edge with a bunch of people, and I felt I had a responsibility to help them, assist them to do the job. And then I felt there was a threat coming towards me. I don't know what it was. I have no clue what it is, but I had to evacuate the people who were working at the edge of this dome-like city on the bottom of the ocean. Now, at that moment, when we were evacuating, going through a tunnel, I saw this huge door with a strange symbol. That strange symbol, I saw it on a device that I had in my hands with a lot of strange other symbols. I never saw them before. It doesn't look like hieroglyphic. It doesn't look like anything that I've seen before. And I felt that I recognized them somehow. And then I saw the same symbol, but I see on the huge door. I pushed the button, the door went open, and at that moment we were in complete harmony. There was total unity. And I saw a window from the bottom to the top. I saw this beautiful view of nature. But I also realized we are very deep in the water. So it's kind of strange. And then I realized it's like a kind of projection, but very, very well done. Then I saw this very ancient device. Again, I was 12 years old, born in 66. So this vision was in 1978. And I saw myself an ancient device. And when you put your hand in this ancient device, an hologram will appear, and you can ask any question about your DNA. It will read your 79% of your DNA that is not yet been decoded. According to Greg Braden, it is. A part of it has already been decoded. And some people claim to have access to this, the so-called junk DNA. And that something will happen to us towards 2012, that we are dummy downed with the DNA on purpose, because if we are too intelligent, we're going to rebel. So therefore, they deliberately kept us away from having access to the 79% of our DNA. And in my vision, I had the ability to read my own DNA and have access to that beautiful archive. And it was connected with Atlantis, it was connected with Lemuria, and also Antarctica. And I felt it had to do with Antarctic, that there is an ancient race that is older than the human race. Now think about that. There's an ancient race in Antarctica that were the original planners of this Earth. And this huge project has to do with allowing diversity. Now, when you have, let's say there's a planet, there's only one race, and there is only kind of order, kind of discipline, and you are not much room for freedoms. So, and they can do accomplish many great things, but there is no real freedom. Imagine that you have that kind of a planet, and that your soul wants to experience that. From how far can you go if you have discipline, order, and so forth? You know, you can imagine that there will be a point that you say, "I'm fed up with this. I want to have freedom. I want to learn from more perspectives and more angles. I want to express myself not in a limited way. I want to do more than this." Now, when you rebel against that on that planet, maybe you die. And then this soul has expressed itself that it wants to explore more possibilities, more diversity, more choices. And then we have this wonderful project called Earth, Project Earth. And maybe that's exactly what happened. The original planners of this Earth, the ancient ones, decided to create a project to allow diversity. It's like a huge, complex oversea power that is monitoring if there are certain aliens are abusing it, they have to intervene. So it's kind of if you want to incarnate on this planet Earth, you have to allow the other to be different than you. You have to allow a freedom of choice, free will, and explore diversity and not oppose the will on someone else. So I guess there are certain aliens maybe who are incarnating on Earth having a different perspective of how to treat other humans or other beings, I have to say. So at that moment, I think there is I call them the neutral ancient beings who are actually monitoring if the aliens are abusing this project. But this project is about learning from each other. Let's say that on a certain planet, they come to a point that they cannot evolve anymore because they have done it all, but somehow they're not allowing differences. They're not allowing to have this wonderful concept of, let's say they're worshipping technology only. That's the only solution to progress and evolution. And they come to a point that they find out that is not the answer. You know, that is not really spiritual evolution. That is just about control and limitations at the end. So maybe certain souls want to learn from this Project Earth and having agreed upon that they have temporary amnesia about their origins. Because if you knew who you are from the beginning, you act like it. And that's the big time problem. If you are, for instance, if you would know that you are the son of a king, you probably have this attitude of a son of a king. You see what I mean? So therefore, maybe it's better for you, if you want to experience diversity, that you start by scratch again. Therefore, you allow yourself to experience differences and different opportunities and different angles, and from that point on, become wiser and having a true spiritual evolution instead of being so-called a son of a king or whatever what you claim to be. So maybe that's exactly what is happening. But some of them are abusing this project. And I feel that the ancient ones and the ancient beings living on this planet are not necessarily alien. They're just the caretakers of this project. And they are very underestimated by the aliens. So if there are alien races who think to mess up and to intervene and to manipulate behind the scene, like what people describe as the reptilians or other alien races, they actually underestimate the ancient beings who are the prime starters of this whole project in the first place. Now, you say, how the hell do you know that, John? Where do you get this information from? I've got this from, I call it downloads, with having in a kind of a merge with them. I call them, again, interdimensional golden light beings. But before I go to have a real, I call it almost physical, it's kind of strange to describe with, to have a contact experience with them, they are actually beyond duality. Now, that sounds even more ridiculous. You know, what do you mean, John, beyond duality? If you have unity keys and unity thinking, and you go beyond duality thinking, you actually have access to a wealth of information that can help you, to assist you in your journey. But if you are thinking too much in duality thinking, what also can be nice, you know, having this wonderful journey of duality around you, that's part of your choice. But you can also have access to information that maybe you don't want to hear, including the so-called spiritual people. Sometimes they have also access to information that is extremely confrontational, but they don't want to listen to it. They just want to find out for themselves. You know, that's the human spirit, that you want to figure it out for yourself. Even if you are given information from the, maybe the morphogenetic fields, you can call it, or the Akasha records, or whatever you want to call it, if you have access to information that is actually superior than you, doesn't mean that you swallow it. You have all this, maybe the most people have this attitude, you know, it sounds wonderful, but you know what? I'm going to figure it out for myself, if it's really true. Now, that spirit is wonderful, you know, that's good. You know, explore and discern, have your own journey, and that is part of this duality-based thinking. But sometimes we have been given to us, maybe through dreams, maybe through intuition, maybe through when you're doing the dishes, you never know. Sometimes you can have access to that kind of information that is beyond dualistic thinking. Maybe we all do, but maybe we don't want to listen to it. I think it's a good assumption that a lot of people don't want to listen to their own inner truth or inner wisdoms and put it to use. So there is a connection with those, what I called ancient beings. But I guess if you are from a biblical perspective, they can be called demons or whatever you can come up with evil. Have you ever considered that if we're going to visit in the future other planets and they're going to scan us, like let's say they can have access to who we are, I guess they perceive the humans as demons. You know, if you look how we treat each other, you know, it's kind of strange. If we are able to go to the moon, if we are able to go to Mars with probes, and we have all these wonderful technologies, but we are not able to solve the problem with children dying unnecessary of hunger. Do I make a good point here? Again, what is the definition of a civilization? So if we claim to have a civilization, then please wake me up. So the definition, in my opinion, of a real civilization is that you, if you have this all this wonderful technology, and you talk about, look, we go to the moon, look, we go to Mars with the probes, look what we can, what we have of technology, but meanwhile, 100,000 of the children die unnecessarily of hunger. Now, how ridiculous is that? And even stranger is that everybody pays taxes, must know that you are financing the wars. Did you know that? That you are actually co-responsible, that your money is being used to fight wars. And now we know it's even an illegal war. I don't want to go in politics today. I want to say more about myself. When I was having a UFO encounter as a security officer in 1990, 17 years ago, I came in the press. I came on radio and shows and so forth. And because of it, people were giving me tips and writing me letters and giving me even a documentary. And the first documentary in 1990 that someone gave me was the documentary from Brett Steiger. It's called The Truth About UFOs and ETs. That's the documentary I saw Brett Steiger. Now, when you see that document, we see a lot of pictures and drawings of eyewitness accounts around the planet from pilots, military, police, but also from the Navy. What's important to note is that when I saw this tape, my very first one, and keep that in mind, because I have my own unique archive, is over 400 VHS tapes, what I collected all over the world, swapping and taping and copying, learning from documentaries worldwide. I started to do that before the internet became famous, and showing it on lectures. The first documentary, what I saw a picture, a drawing made by Marines, by the Navy, who I witnessed a UFO coming out of the sea with the same symbol that I put on paper when I was 4.5 years old. When I was 12 years old. When I was 12 years old, I had this vision working on an underwater city at the edge, dome-like city, and had to have evacuated people into this tunnel. I saw this huge door with a symbol, and that is the same symbol that I saw 12 years later when I was a security officer, and I had a UFO encounter, and I came in the press, and somebody gave me this tape, The Truth About UFOs and ETs, from Brett Steiger. Now, I don't like that word truth. The reason that I don't like that word, because it's been misused so many times. I rather say a part of the gigantic puzzle. I mean, we have also parallel truths. Have you ever considered if you walk in the forest and you look at the ants and you see what they do and you monitoring the ants and fascinating with the ants and looking at it, they don't necessarily have to know that you exist. For the truth of the ants, you don't exist. But you know that they exist, and you know that you exist. So there's a parallel truth, because you know you exist, and the ants exist too. But from the perspective of the ants, they don't realize that you are there too. So that maybe it's the same with the ancient beings. When they look upon us, they look like, that's interesting creatures there, the humans. You know, they're doing some good stuff, making beautiful art, making beautiful music, maybe inspired partly by them, who knows. And then there's a point that when the ants are walking in your kitchen, that you have to do something, you see what I mean? So maybe that's what we are. We are. In comparison to them, we're just ants. And they let us be, to live and to let live, you know, all that is. Accept all that is, that mentality they have. By the way, there's a difference between what you think it is or all that is. There's a kind of awareness that you can let go of labels and registrate or monitor and absorb information or registrate awareness without labels. Now, it sounds kind of strange, but how can you remember something if you don't label it? That is possible. And that is extremely important that people realize that you can exercise that. You can exercise to registrate, absorb through your senses, your 5-6 senses, without trying to label what it is. Because you can remember it and easier and better. And you can exercise that. And I will do that in the coming shows. How can you do this? Because when you are in a kind of a visualization, and imagine yourself walking in a forest and having a beautiful day and seeing sunshine shining through the leaves and a wonderful creek. And then at the end of the creek, you see the source and you see nice atmospheres of flowers and the smell imagine all the positive things. At that moment, you change your brain waves. Actually, you create a platform, like a hologram, like what you see in Star Trek Next Generation. You actually have this beautiful hologram that you created yourself, and it is a beautiful way to invite those from another dimension to come into your hologram and communicate with you. So it is possible that while you are trying to imagine all of this, you know, this visualization techniques, something pops up that you didn't thought about, that you say, wait a minute, that is not what I imagine myself. This is not what I think about. What is this? Now, when you try to figure out what it is, it's too late because you're thinking too much and you want to use labels. You see what I mean? If you just observe without using labels, you actually can make contact with it that wants to reach out with you. It's like we reach out to them by having this change in frequencies. You know, allowing yourself, you close your eyes, imagine yourself having this wonderful atmosphere, you have this different frequency, and that moment, you did your part. And then they come and they do their part. And that is a way to meet them. And if you meet them, you can call it just a vision or just a dream, but can also be sophisticated technology that we have inside of us, that we just don't know how to use it. Because we just don't use our full potential. So maybe that's the true beautiful art, to explore inner worlds, and maybe that's a mean to explore alternative realities and meet other beings that are interacting with you. But the problem is the moment that you project your expectations upon them, or fears, or whatever you have, then you actually are not communicating with that, but you're communicating with your own story in your head about something. You see what I mean? You're not communicating anymore. Most of the people are communicating with themselves because they have this assumptions or judgment about something or someone else, and therefore, who are you talking to? You're talking to your own story in your head about someone. And it's the same with this interaction through this meditation. So if you have ever had a contact through this visualization technique, you have to let go of labels. You have to let go of expectations. Because if you do, you over-project it on that what you are trying to communicate with. So you have to know yourself first, how you treat something. So that would be an exercise for the coming shows in the future. And how can we do this? I think it's a wonderful journey to do this. I have experienced something like it. I definitely want to talk about my interdimensional golden light beings that are beyond duality. I feel as if they are my soul parents. Now, that is strange. Soul parents? Yeah. Ask yourself this question. Do you want to meet your own soul parents? If your soul is older than the earth, do you wish to know them or have access with them? Now, what you can do is, before you go to sleep, you just say to yourself, please give me a vision or a lucid dream, a very vivid dream, that I meet my soul parents. You can ask that before you go to sleep, but you have to mean it. You have to not play games with it. So I guess we are going to the end of the show. It's almost ready for the next show. I hope that you enjoyed it. My name is John Kudus from the Netherlands on Untold Mysteries Radio. And it's every Saturday on bbsradio.com. And if you want to know more about me, go to untoldmysteries.com or .eu, and there you will find a button that says, who is John Kulis? Then you see a little bit background information about me. So I hope you enjoyed this hour, and it's all improvisation, what I did today. I was not prepared. I just had severe problems with two computers, and I had problems with the traffic and the train, and I still just came in and talked to the founder of this BBS radio, and I guess I just show you can do radio without preparation, because just be yourself. You know, that's the last message I will give. If you allow yourself to be yourself, that would be the first step of true spirituality, because you allow the other person to do the same, and then you give each other space. You have more, if you don't allow yourself to be yourself. Okay, guys, that was kind of a misunderstanding with the technique. Next time I'll do better. I hope you enjoyed it, and see you next time, next week on Saturday. John Kulis from the Netherlands, Untold Mysteries Radio.